My name is Dimitri, and I'm a systems engineer at a hosting company in Switzerland. And we decided to integrate Chef into our environment, and that's what this talk is all about. At the beginning, 8 years ago when I started, I just had a handful of systems to manage, and that was something fairly easy to do by hand. As I learned more about systems, or as our customers' needs changed, I could go back to the older systems and apply those configuration changes pretty consistently by hand, because I could keep it all in my head, I could keep track of it, and manage the configuration that way. How many people manage systems like that now? Okay, a few hands. Good. But then as time goes on, more and more systems get added to the mix, of course. They become more complex. There are multiple different operating systems that need to be managed, all in a consistent and similar manner. And eventually, it gets to the point where you can't hold it all in your head. You can't even manage it by yourself anymore, and so some more admins get thrown into the mix. And then you find yourself in a situation where you're making changes to systems that somebody else has also made changes to, and you have to manage those changes along with the other changes and try to get them all to approach a common system. And that gets very, very difficult to do without any sort of configuration management system. So along comes Chef. We evaluated different configuration management systems. We took a look at CF Engine. We looked at bconfig, looked at Puppet. But Chef fit the way that we look at systems and work with infrastructure the best. And we decided on the system, and we thought, okay, great. Now what do? We have Chef. We know that this is what we want to use, but we don't really know what to do with it next. And so we decided 2 years ago at Lisa, I took the configuration management workshop. Anybody take that workshop this year? One person in the room. Hi, Matt. I highly recommend it. It's a great workshop for people who are just starting off with configuration management or are evaluating working on a configuration management system or trying to get their systems to approach some sort of configured state that you can actually reproduce. And at this workshop, the organizer, Corey, recommended that you put the message of the day under configuration management. Simple file, very similar across different operating systems. And once you have the message of the day under configuration management, you know a couple of things right off the bat. You know that your CFM server is set up correctly. You've got the server working right, it's connected, it's configured, and then you connect it to your client machines. And so you configure your client machines and make them talk to the CFM server. And you also know that you have communication set up between your CFM server and your client machines. And so I thought, all right, well, that's a great idea. So I'm going to go and implement that with Chef. And so I went to the website, I went to the cookbook's website, and looked for the message of the day cookbook. But I couldn't find it. Did anybody else look for that? Anybody look for a message of the day cookbook for Chef? Okay. Well, it wasn't a problem, because we had a system that could work, and we just needed to write some code. So what do? Engineer a solution to it. If you are faced with a problem and you can't solve it, what do? You try to fix it. And so that's what we do as systems engineers. We engineer solutions. And so I decided to sit down and write a message of the day cookbook. And it initially looked like this. You have a cookbook's directory, message of the day, recipes, and then a default recipe. That default recipe runs when you don't specify any other recipe under Chef, and it'll just run this. I have a file provider And I said, all right, I've got the Etsy MOTD file, and this is the content. It's not important right now, just a little blah, blah, blah. Got a mode set for it, and all right, great. I've got this working. So I applied it to the to our server, configured the client to talk to the server and pull down this cookbook, and I saw this text. I'm like, great, this is wonderful, it works. And then I rebooted the server. This is FreeBSD. Anybody else running FreeBSD? Couple people, okay, all right. And in the FreeBSD message of the day, the default, you see the kernel string, the running kernel, what's in there. And that actually gets put there by the Etsy RC script that runs at every boot. I discovered that after having this file being overwritten by that. And I discovered that my message of the day cookbook couldn't quite work like this, because at every boot, the Etsy RC file would overwrite it. And then when Chef would run, it would overwrite that with this text, and it would just repeat at every boot. And this was not a situation I wanted to be in. And so I had to adapt the cookbook. I changed it and pulled out the text into a template file. So now I have a template. And I said where its source was. I configured the template to have an owner, a group, a mode. And in this template file, I was able to pull in the information that the Etsy RC script wanted. And that information comes from OHAI. OHAI is the part of Chef that runs on the node and discovers information about that node. It was able to take the running kernel information and store it back in the server under the node. And so I could reference that data now in my template. This is a piece of the template, and it looks kind of messy up on screen, but it looks kind of messy in the file as well, because it is kind of messy. But basically, I'm pulling out the kernel operating system, I'm pulling out the release, and then the identity string, and then the version. And the version gets kind of ugly because I have to split it, and there's weird stuff done in the Etsy RC file in FreeBSD to get it to be like this. But I was able to mirror that in the template. And then I rebooted the server. I saw, hey, my template file stayed. This is great. And I was very happy. I mean, I got message of the day under FreeBSD, under Chef, and it worked. Now what I do? I mean, I've got one cookbook, I've got a working configuration management system, and so I'm like, okay, well, what other files could I put under configuration management control? Under FreeBSD, you've got the boot loader.conf file, you've got the etsy sysctl, etsy newsyslog.conf, etsy syslog.conf, make.conf, a whole bunch of different configuration files that we could potentially use. And so I went back to the Chef site. I looked for the cookbooks that would manage these files, and I couldn't find them. They don't exist. And so I said, okay, no problem. We can solve this. We engineer a solution. We fix it. And so I was able to come up with another cookbook called the System Cookbook, rather aptly named. But basically, it's a collection of key-value template files. So you have these template files that provide for setting up these different periodic.conf, the cctl.conf, the make.conf, loader.conf, etc. This is an example of one of them. We've got the system cookbook. These are the templates. This lives under the default directory, and it's the sysctl.conf. And this is an example of something that works across different operating systems. It works for FreeBSD as well as for Linux, because they both adhere to the Unix philosophy of parsable configuration files, where you have a key and set to a value. It's protected by an unless clause, just to make sure that some values are set on the node before you actually try to reference them. because if you try to reference them, if they're not set, then you get an exception, and then chef dies, and nobody's happy. And here's a slight change to the previous slide. Who can spot the differences here? Anybody? There's the first one, the default. FreeBSD, I hear somebody calling. Yeah, that's right. This one lives under the FreeBSD directory. This is something that Chef calls file specificity or template specificity. This is a concept that CF Engine people will know as the single file nirvana. This means that if I want to have a configuration that is specific to a particular platform or a particular node or hostname, I can create a directory that identifies that platform or identifies the node name. And it will look for that file under its most specific reference. Back here in the default, I have the sysctl template living under the default because it's the same for Linux as for FreeBSD. And so I can use the same file for both of them. But the loader.conf is something FreeBSD specific. And another difference is that we have quotes around the value. It's something that we should have for the loader.conf that we don't have and don't require for the sysctl.conf. FreeBSD likes to have its values in quotes in the loader.conf file, and so we specify that in the more specific template, the one that's specific to FreeBSD. Remember our message of the day cookbook? Something we can change there as well. There is more than one way to do it. The second implementation of the message of the day cookbook, which I had the OHI line reference to bring up the kernel value. I had an if block in there saying, okay, if the platform is FreeBSD, then go ahead and insert this ugly kernel line. And I was able to use one template file under the default directory. But there's another way to do it. I could put the message of the day template under the FreeBSD directory, under the template, and it would automatically pull that one for FreeBSD systems. And so it's much, much cleaner. I didn't have to have an if-else and do one for every platform. I mean, if I wanted to have a different MOTD file for each platform, I'd just make another directory and put that under that specific directory. So what have we got so far? We have a working CFM. We know that the system works because we have a message of the day that's controlled under the configuration management system. And we have a system cookbook that handles a bunch of other system files. Great. But how do we actually get the values into these cookbooks? How do we say who the system is managed by in the message of the day? How do we say that we want this particular sysctl to be set to this particular value in the system cookbook? There's no way that Chef tells you this is the way to do it. You have to come up with a solution yourself. You engineer a solution. You make it your own. Make it fit whichever way you work best. And so we came up, we didn't come up with roles, but we used roles to solve this problem. Now, roles are nothing more than just a label. We can say these servers are FreeBSD. These ones over here are Solaris. These are Linux. But they all have something in common, and so we'll call that the base role. And everything that's in common amongst all these systems will go into the base role. And then we have some location-specific information. We have one data center, and we have another data center. We want to set certain values particular to one data center in this role, and in the second data center in the other role. And so we'll take a look at these roles. Base role starts off pretty simple. It's called base and states that it's the base role. And then we have our attributes set. These are the values that we want to reference. Message of the day cookbook. And then we have a variable there, managed by, and it's managed by us, managed by everywhere. We set that in the role. We also have something common to the base role amongst all the systems. We want to install postfix. And we say, okay, this is postfix, but this is a client postfix. It's not a relay server. Most of the servers are just, they have a local installation, and we decided to do the client base, which means it's installed under under root as opposed to user local, like most ports are. Now in the base role, at the end, we declare the run list. We've set up some variables, and now we want to say which cookbooks and which recipes will run. We have Chef client itself, make sure it starts at every boot, it's configured to talk to the server, et cetera, et cetera. We have our message of the day recipe. We have our resolver. We want to be able to set our resolving information from Chef, NTP as well, and postfix. But when this ran for the first time, it died horribly because postfix isn't included in the base FreeBSD distribution. And under Chef, if you don't have a package included under the base, under FreeBSD, it automatically looks for it under the ports directory. And on our systems, we want to have a minimal install, which means ports isn't installed. And so what Chef did was it looked under the ports tree for the postfix port to install it, and it couldn't, and it died. And so what do we do in that situation? Engineer a solution. We're stuck, and we need a way out, and so we fix it by looking at the code. Chef is open source. You can take it apart. You can work on the base itself. And so that's what we did. This is the FreeBSD snippet of the FreeBSD package provider under Chef. This is what installs packages. If you don't have a particular package installed and you declare in a cookbook that you need this package to be installed, this is what runs. You load the current resource. That's basically a way of saying, hey, we need to get this, need to find out more information about this package, find out where we need to install it from, find out what version is already installed, if any, and what versions are available in the package system. And the way it did it, like I said, is it looks under ports for a candidate version. It will try to install the latest version it can find under ports. But since there is no ports installed on the minimal system, I had to come up with something else, and I call this the file candidate version. And the file candidate version looks like this. It gets the path, it splits it up a bit, knocks off the ending, and then you come up with a version. And where does it get the path from? You have to go define another function to get the path from the resource itself. You declare in the resource where this path is, and you can glob on the name and get all the different package files that have the same name under that path. So now I have the package name, the package path, the version number, and I can add it. So I install the package. I know it starts with a slash because it's locally found. I mounted or copied over all the packages that I want to install onto the system under a particular path, and so I can package add them under this path. In order to discover all this information, of course, we throw in a whole bunch of logging statements. So when you're trying to figure something out, figure out how it works, you want to take it apart as much as possible. And you want to throw logging in all over the place to find out what it's doing at each step of the way. And Chef's pretty good about that. You have a lot of different opportunities for logging to declare the logs, send them out to syslog, and you're able to see what happens. And this is the postfix cookbook piece of it to show how these different parts are referenced. This is our mail type that we referenced in the base cookbook, the client base. It's looking for a package called postfix base. That's the name of the package itself. And the source, we declare that as a file system path. It looks under user ports packages all, although we don't have the whole ports tree installed. We have packages copied over from the build system over to this path here. And then what do? We say install it. And so now we've got that that problem solved. We can install Postfix in our base role, and now we're happy. We can move on. So we can move on to the other roles. This is the data center role, data center specific role to configure parameters that are specific to that data center. We have the resolver, and we have different name servers per data center, because we want them to be local to that data center to be able to prevent outages that span data centers. NTP servers, the same thing. We want the NTP servers to be as close as possible. And we have a different relay per data center. And we say, okay, this one is in data center one, so it gets relay host one. We configure that in the role for the data center. And of course, we want the syslog to go to a specific syslog server, and we declare that here. And then we say, okay, now run the base role. We can nest roles in Chef. You can have the data center role contain the base role, because you set certain parameters in the data center role that are then referenced in the base role. Now we go on to the FreeBSD role, which is more detailed. Can anybody read that? No, I can't read that either, but it looks pretty, doesn't it? I mean, that's the way my editor highlights the FreeBSD role. I like the way that looks. Sometimes that's just what you have to do. You have to motivate yourself in some way in order to make this change. Implementing configuration management is a change. It's something different from the way you used to do things. And you got to come up with ways to make yourself want to do that. And this is something that works for me. I mean, I like the way this looks. This looks pretty. And so if I can make all these pretty configuration files in under Chef, then I am more motivated to put more and more configuration under control of the configuration management system. But so we can actually read it, just declare the role, what it does, and then set a bunch of default attributes. The system cookbook that we had, I reference here, and then set different parameters for the system cookbook under the boot. That configures the loader.conf. I want specific values to be set. I can configure them here, and I know that they're set for each FreeBSD system under control of the CFM. I have, in addition to the log rotate file, the template for log rotate looks just like the default FreeBSD template plus a little block at the end for key values. So I can set extra files that I want log rotate to take care of that aren't covered by the FreeBSD base. And parameter for the make.conf file. Periodic is something that FreeBSD has to run default cron jobs and do various things like clean up temp files, take a look at the disk space, run security audits, and send off mails with the results. And I can configure that all under Chef as well. And you can set your sysctls as well, what parameters you'd like to have these different sysctls set to. And then at the very end comes the call to the recipe, the system recipe to run it. And I say, okay, I've set all these different values, and now I want to actually use them in the cookbook. Because if I try to use them, if I declare the cookbook first, then it'll throw an exception because Chef works in the declarative order. The order that you configure things in the different cookbook files is the order that they get run in. That works for roles as well. So you want to define your different values in roles and then use them at the end by specifying the run list. And so roles and cookbooks really go hand in hand. You have to be able to work with them together. At least that's the way that we did it, the way that we implemented it. was to get all of our parameters defined in the roles itself, the ones that were very general. We could set specific ones on the node itself if we needed to, and then use them in the cookbook. And you have to integrate it into your workflow. Once you have the system set up, it's running on a couple of test systems, then you know you're going to have to roll it out across your entire infrastructure. In order to do that, you have to figure out how that works best for you. For us, it worked best to set up Chef for all new clients. Every new client got Chef client installed automatically and connected to the Chef server, configured the role as soon as it gets set up, and which recipes we want to use in addition to that. And we know that all the new servers are running Chef, they're all under configuration management control, and we're in a good place. For the older servers, we say, okay, when the server gets updated, when it's time for its periodic update, we're gonna roll Chef out then. It may be that we have some legacy applications on there that we don't have a cookbook written for yet. Doesn't matter. We can still put the message of the day under control of Chef. That's the important thing to do, is to make sure that we have something under control of configuration management so we know that we're going to use it. And of course, we want to tie our configuration into revision control. Back when we moved off of CVS, we decided at that time to go with Mercurial. I know the whole world uses Git, but we implemented Mercurial back at the time when both were kind of vying for the new revision control thing. And so we have our configuration management under Mercurial revision control. And that's how we decided to make it all work together. To recap, have a whole bunch of systems, have a whole big mess of different admins working on different configurations across different operating systems. Great Scott, what do we do with this? We have Chef as a tool that we can use. We can change it. We can adapt it. It's open source. It's just code. So we can sit back and relax and just say, don't have to worry anymore. I love the Chef. I want to thank OpsCode for Chef. And these Brunel images are thanks to Sydney Padua at the 2dgoggles.com site. Anybody know 2D Goggles? A fan of Lovelace and Babbage? Check out this. It's a webcomic. It's cool. Any questions?
I went down the Puppet road for a while and ran into not only Puppet revision issues, but also Ruby revision issues. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how you laid the groundwork for your Ruby and Chef versions and how you control that aspect of this whole thing?
Sure. Basically, it's kind of to ignore the problem. We took Ruby and Chef. We knew that this version worked with this version and installed them both together. And then when we needed to update, we made sure that Ruby would get updated first, and then Chef would get updated first, updated after that. And we started off with Chef 8.12 or something around there. It was about a year and a half ago, and made the progression along with that from there, mostly on smaller test systems that we could model this best on.
And just quick follow-up. The pain of migrating Chef onto those production systems is manageable, in your opinion? Obviously, it must be.
It is. Okay. Much more manageable than the pain of managing systems without it. Any other questions? Okay.